You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. It's so, so good that you can join us this morning online. You know, for those of you who don't know, I've recently been learning a new skill. I have been attempting to learn to surf. Now, I have to admit, I'm not very good at it. You know, some people are like, you think they're modest, they're like, oh yeah, I'm not really that good at it, but like, I'm actually not that good at it. And it's really hard. It's really hard to find the right balance and to find the right wave. But I'll tell you something, it's super fun. I'm learning so much about it. And you know, I've had friends who are surfers who said so much about how, oh, it's that search for the perfect wave, the wave that you can catch and ride beautifully. And I never really got it. But on the rare occasion that I've actually managed to catch a wave as I've been learning, it actually is a brilliant feeling. You know, you're like paddling furiously when you see the wave coming. You grab the side of the board, you try and stand up. And as you stand up, you feel the wave pick you up and you're riding this wave. You feel like you're completely free. The wave is carrying you. You can't control where you're going. You're not in control at all because the water will just carry you where it takes you. But you feel free. You feel weightless. You feel like you're flying across the water. And I've got a few friends who have surfed for many years, and they describe it as such a feeling of freedom and exhilaration. And I was thinking about that, and I was reminded, I suppose this is how God created us to walk our journey with Him, in a similar kind of way, that we're walking in freedom, feeling weightless, riding across that water. We're not in control of exactly what's happening, but we're surrendered to the one who is in charge. He's the one who holds the future. We're led in His direction. And that's a beautiful picture of how we can walk in freedom. But then I thought about it. Do I actually walk in this freedom? Do we as followers of Jesus walk in this freedom? Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed." We heard about it in communion this morning already, church, that Jesus alone did what we could not do. He took our place. He paid the price for our sin and wrongdoing by dying on the cross. He did it so you and I could be made whole. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was a victory, as Ozzy said. It is a finished work. He overcame death. He defeated sin. He defeated sickness and He defeated shame. We see this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. "But He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be made, so we could be healed." In 1 Peter 2:24, "He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed." What a beautiful picture that is, church, that He defeated sin, sickness, death, and shame. And when we come to believe in Jesus, our condemnation, our shame is removed. Romans 8:1 says it like this, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in Him as personal Lord and Savior." That's the truth this morning, church. That's the truth, that there is no condemnation for us. The reality is, though, that many of us still walk around carrying condemnation and shame. So what is shame? Dr. Brené Brown, a renowned shame researcher, defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. That's sad, that you feel so strongly that you aren't worthy of love and belonging, that you are flawed. Shame makes us believe that there is something wrong with us. Not that we've done something wrong, but there is something wrong with us. And if there wasn't, maybe things would be different. Statements like, "If I was a better parent, maybe my kids wouldn't have gone off the rails. If I was a good partner, maybe my husband and wife or wife wouldn't have left. If I was better looking, if I was smarter, if I was nicer, maybe I wouldn't be single. If I was better behaved or I did better, maybe mom or dad would have stayed. If I acted more like Bob and I was more normal, maybe I would be accepted. You know, it's so sad to hear that thoughts like that. But I think I can speak for myself that there are times I've had thoughts like that, and I'm sure many of us have. The sad thing is, though, that these thoughts can trap us in shame and rob us of walking in freedom. But remember what we read at the start in Galatians 5, that it is for this freedom that Christ set us free. Church, Jesus set us free to walk in freedom, not in shame and condemnation. I'll say that again. Jesus set us free to walk in freedom, not in shame and condemnation. So as followers of Jesus, how do we outwork this? How do we outwork this walking in freedom from shame? Let's look at two people in the Bible who carried shame, who had reasons for shame, but encounter with Jesus transformed their lives. Firstly, let's read about the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," Jesus said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." What an amazing story, church. Let's also look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. This is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Two completely different stories, but they both have commonalities in them. See, we see here that shame can be experienced for different reasons. In the account of the woman with the issue of blood, in that time, a woman who was bleeding was considered unclean. People would avoid her, stay away from her, because if they touched her, they too would become unclean. As she walked down the street, when she went out, people would yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one would come near her or touch her. Today, we may not have an actual voice yelling out unclean as we walk by, but there are so many other voices that we can listen to that can cause us to carry shame. Deceiving thoughts from within that come from the enemy. Other people's words that have been spoken over us. People's perceptions, how we see ourselves. The images that are painted on social media of how we should be. All these things can tell us that we're not good enough. That we don't measure up. That we're not worthy of love. The woman experienced shame because of something that happened to her that was beyond her control. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was a chief tax collector. In those days, tax collectors were hated and despised because they were pretty dodgy. They tended to cheat people and take more than they should and harass people for taxes. Tax collectors were often isolated and separated because no one wanted to be around them. We see how the people grumbled when Jesus went to his house. They thought he wasn't deserving of having contact with Jesus. Sometimes shame can come about from things we have done or things we do or things we have done in our past. We can carry shame from that. So we see from the two stories that shame can come in many forms. It can be the result of things we've done, like Zacchaeus. It can be a result of something that has happened to us. Abuse, rejection, violence, trauma, things in our past that can make us feel shame. Or something that happened to us beyond our control, like the woman with the issue of blood. Sickness, family drama, anything that can happen to us that we couldn't control that cause us to feel shame. And whether we realize it or not, we all carry shame in some form. As a teenager, I had a skin condition on my leg that caused me to have these sores that were sort of weepy and a bit horrible, to be honest. Even once they healed over, they left these bad scars. And for a very long time, I was really self-conscious about these scabs and these scars. And I didn't realize at that time it was shame. But I wouldn't wear skirts, I wouldn't wear shorts, because I was so fearful of people seeing it. In school, I had to wear like a school pinafore, so my legs were able to be seen. And I was teased about these sores on my legs. Back then, I didn't recognize it as shame. But as an adult, Jesus is the one who revealed to me that I carried shame from that. You know, those sores on my legs, those scabs, that teasing made me feel unworthy of love, like I was undeserving of love. But the amazing thing about our Jesus is that he brought that to my attention so I could walk free from it, that I could go on a journey with him to walk free from the shame. But the first step was that I had to recognize that there was shame there. So church, we see, although the source or the reason might be different for our shame, the woman had a different reason for her shame, as did Zacchaeus. But we still need to identify it as shame, because that is the first step to walking free from it. So then as we look at that, what can we learn from these two accounts? What can we learn about walking free from shame? If you're taking notes, my first point, point number one, we can seek Jesus and come to him with our shame. In the account of the woman with the issue of blood, we see that she had tried other methods to cure her sickness. In her story in Mark chapter 5, in verse 26, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. But then, she heard about Jesus. It says in verse 27, and she sought him out. Why? Mark 5, 28. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. The woman sought Jesus out. She wanted to seek him because she thought she would be healed if she touched him. Zacchaeus too sought Jesus out. In Luke 19:3, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. The phrase here, to get a look, comes from the Greek word eido. It doesn't mean just to physically look at or physically see, but to know anything of, to discover, to perceive Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to discover Jesus. So the good news is, Jesus is a remedy for your circumstances and your shame. We can seek him out. We can come to him without shame. Seek him, church. He gets it. He walked through it. As we heard in communion this morning, he took our place. You and I can take our struggles and shame to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated on the place of honor beside God's throne. How amazing is our Jesus, that Jesus, you alone, did what no one else could do. Death in that, by crucifixion that time, was a shameful death. But Jesus endured the shameful death through crucifixion for you and I because of the joy of what he knew was to come. His victory over sin and death, our salvation, our freedom. So you can come to him. You can seek him with your shame. He understands. He gets it. He knows it. As we seek Jesus, there may be areas in our lives, there may be areas of shame that are triggered, where we need further professional help. You may need to seek a pastoral appointment, speak to a counselor, a psychologist, doctor, or chaplain. If this is your next step, then go for it. Because on the other side of it is freedom. But can I encourage you? Keep seeking Jesus. He gets it. He understands it. The great news, though, is church, as we seek him, point number two, Jesus encounters our shame with his truth, his love, and his light. In the woman's story with the issue of blood, we see that she received her healing as soon as she touched Jesus. You know, we thought the story might end there, but that wasn't the end of the story. She could have just disappeared into the crowd and her healing would have been received. But we see in Luke 8, verse 47, when the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. See, she had been healed when she touched Jesus. But then there was another step to her healing and restoration. What had caused her shame? Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" What had caused her shame had to be spoken out. The whole crowd had to hear her explain why she had touched him and that she'd been healed. What had caused the shame was now exposed. It was out in the open. But here's the amazing thing. It wasn't exposed to hurt her or to cause damage. How good is Jesus' response here? It was exposed to the love and light of Jesus. Such love we hear from Jesus. "Daughter," he says in verse 48, restoring her. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." How amazing is Jesus? That Jesus alone brought what had caused her so much shame to the light and restores her with his love. We also see Jesus' heart towards Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who wasn't liked by many people, who people grumbled because they didn't think he was worthy to be with Jesus. In Luke 19:5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus. He called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today." Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. Jesus valued Zacchaeus. "I must be a guest in your house." So what does this mean for you and I today? Like the woman with the issue of blood, you and I can bring our shame to Jesus. You and I can speak it out to Jesus, and he encounters with his love and his light. Not to condemn us, not to punish us, not to make us feel horrible and awful, but so he can shower us with his love. And like the woman had to speak out to the crowd, sometimes it may be helpful for you to also to speak out to a trusted person about your shame. Because when exposed to the light of Jesus and brought out in the open, the darkness of shame is dispelled. If you're in a dark room and a light turns on, where does the darkness go? It's just dispelled. And it's the same with shame. When we come to Jesus, when we bring it to his light, shame has to leave because there's no place there in the light of Jesus. This is something that I found super helpful when I have struggled with areas of shame. Speaking to someone I trust, a leader, a pastor, about an area that I've struggled with, somehow that sting or that heaviness that it carries is immediately dispelled. It's not that you're completely free from it, but the hidden shame that was hidden within you no longer has that same hold on you because it's been exposed to the light of Jesus. So can I encourage you, church, let's allow Jesus to shine his light into areas that we may carry shame and are not walking in intended freedom. And as you do this, can I assure you of this? God sees you, God knows you, and God loves you. I'll say it again, that God sees you, God knows you, and God loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. In areas where we carry shame and condemnation, Jesus comes with his love, reassuring us of it. The Apostle Paul describes it brilliantly in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. "For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Church, be encouraged. Nothing we have done or will do, nothing that has happened to us or may happen to us can ever separate us from his love. That in itself brings such freedom. You don't have to earn his love. You can't lose his love. Rest in that, church. You don't have to earn it and you can't lose his love. How good is Jesus? That Jesus alone, we can come to him with our shame and we encounter him He encounters our shame with his light, love, and truth. And point number three, encountering Jesus brings transformation and freedom from shame. We see how the woman was transformed. She wasn't just healed, she also received restoration. The thing that had caused her isolation, shame, rejection, and suffering was now gone. Zacchaeus too was transformed. He received salvation that day, and he vowed to make changes to his business dealings. Luke chapter 19, verses 8 to 10 says, "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.' Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham.'" What does this mean for you and I? Jesus can bring transformation to your life. He brings freedom from shame. You can ask him to lead you and guide you towards greater levels of freedom from shame. He sent us the Holy Spirit to help us with this. We read in John 14:26, "But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit," what great adjectives to describe him, "whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything I've told you." And this is the journey we can go on, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us areas of shame that we need to deal with. This is something I've had to do for myself. Recently, I found myself reacting to something that my employer had said and done to me. And, you know, I was getting quite upset and angry and emotional about it. And I went to the Holy Spirit and I said to him, "What's going on here? Why am I reacting this way?" He's the one who guides us into all truth, hey? And his response was that I carried shame of rejection from my past, things that had happened that caused me to feel undervalued by what my employer had done. The way they had acted had caused me to react in this way. And in that moment, Holy Spirit reminded me of instances in my life. It was almost like a flashback where I felt undervalued, unworthy, and that had built an attitude or a feeling of shame in my life. But this is the beautiful thing about our Jesus. See, he didn't leave me in that place. He encountered me there, and he brought words of encouragement. I was reminded of songs, of lyrics of songs, Bible verses that reminded me of his love. He brought flashbacks to my mind of times that he encountered me, where he had spoken over me, how he had endlessly pursued me, and how he loves me with an everlasting love. And in that moment, I went from that shame and that frustration and that anger I was feeling to walking in freedom with him, to knowing his truth, to knowing his love. In that moment, I moved from that shame to freedom, because Jesus brings transformation. He moves us from shame to freedom. Am I 100% free from it? The honest truth is no. There'll still be days where I struggle with it. There'll still be days that's an outworking of a journey of walking in freedom. But I can say wholeheartedly that today I'm walking in greater freedom from shame than I was yesterday. And it's an ongoing journey, church. It's not a once and for all fixed solution at salvation. I have to daily renew my mind, take thoughts captive, and make them obedient to the truth of what Jesus says. There is action we have to take in outworking this freedom. You and I have to replace the lies of shame with truth. Whatever that looks like for you, it may be a practical thing, putting a bookmark in your Bible with scriptures, a whiteboard, a chalkboard, where you write encouraging words, scriptures, verses that have spoken to you. If you're more tech savvy, a screensaver, a background on your computer or phone, sticky notes on your mirrors, on your walls, to encourage you of God's truth. Whatever it looks like, let's together be transformed. Let's allow Jesus to transform us, to remove our shame and help us walk in greater freedom. As I finish, allow me to read a part from Christine Kane's book, Unashamed. Christine Kane carried a lot of shame because of what stuff that happened in her life. But I'll tell you what, she is winning this journey of walking free from shame. Christine writes, "When I look in the mirror, I don't see who I once did. When I was shame-filled, I could barely look at myself. It was painful to see the image looking back. Now I can look without wincing. In fact, I might even give myself an occasional wink and a knowing smile. I know the miracles that God has done. And when I catch my daughters, Catherine and Sophia, looking at themselves in the mirror, as so many young girls do, I'm amazed at how free and unselfconscious they are before their own image. They approach the mirror unhindered and uninhibited because they know they are fully loved and valued, chosen and cherished. It is because they believe this in the very marrow of their bones that they are free to be themselves. It is truly a sight to behold. It has taken me many more decades to arrive at that same place because I started at a much different place. My image was so marred by abuse, rejection, abandonment, and unworthiness that my lifelong struggle has been to discover who I am in Christ and then own who I am, even when people, culture, tradition, religion, and my own brokenness kept trying to put me in a box and hide me. For most of my life, I did not know I was listening to the voice of shame, or even that there was a voice I was listening to. But I'm no longer the woman hiding, no longer the woman avoiding the image in the mirror. Today, I see through a new lens, my resurrection lens, the who I am in Christ lens. The love of Jesus Christ has set me free. The love of Jesus Christ has set me free. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free."